Hello again, my friend. I'm glad you came back today because this story is about someone history almost forgot. Not a conqueror, not a genius, just a careful man who kept the world from losing its memory. Stay close. This one matters. I remember the room before I remember the man. It was not a grand library, not marble, not quiet. It was a Roman house, hastily repurposed, tables pushed together, scrolls stacked where chairs should have been. Papyrus curled at the edges like dry leaves. Some rolls were cracked clean through. Others had been copied so many times the ink looked tired. These scrolls had traveled far, from Athens, from Rhodes, from places whose names were already beginning to fade. They arrived without ceremony, without labels, without instructions, Greek words in a Latin world, brilliant thoughts sitting in the wrong hands, and this is the part people miss. No one was trying to destroy them. They were simply not paying attention. Rome was busy, victories to celebrate, laws to draft, roads to build. These scrolls were trophies of conquest, curiosities from an older culture, impressive but inconvenient. Many would be shelved. Many miscopied, many quietly ignored until they crumbled. That is when Tyrannio the Elder walked into the room. I watched him stop at the doorway. He did not rush forward. He did not touch anything at first. He just stood there, reading the air, the smell of dust and ink, the low murmur of voices arguing over pronunciation, the soft, dangerous chaos of knowledge without order. He knelt and picked up a single scroll, not the most beautiful one, not the rarest, just one that had been placed upside down. He turned it carefully, smoothed the edge, read a line, then another, and I felt it. That quiet click, like a thread slipping back into place. Because in that moment, my friend, the ancient world was balanced on something very small. Not a battle, not a law, just whether someone cared enough to put things in the right order. Once you notice him, Tyrannio is easy to misunderstand. People like to imagine scholars as loud minds, bold voices, sharp opinions, grand theories announced to crowded rooms. Tyrannio was not that kind of man. He was trained as a grammarian, which sounds small until you understand what that meant in his world. Grammar was not rules on a page. It was custody. To be a grammarian was to decide how words should be read, how lines should be divided, how meanings should be carried without breaking. One careless copyist could bend a sentence. One impatient reader could erase an idea entirely. Tyrannio knew this. He had lived long enough to see how easily clarity dissolved. By the time he reached Rome, Greek learning was admired but no longer anchored. Texts circulated without context. Names were attached to the wrong works. Philosophers were quoted without being understood. Everyone wanted the wisdom. Few wanted the responsibility. So Tyrannio did something quietly radical. He began to teach how to read. Not quickly, not impressively, carefully. He trained students to hear the structure inside the language, to notice when a line felt wrong, when a word did not belong, when a copy had drifted too far from its source. He compared manuscripts. He corrected errors. He created order where there had only been accumulation. This was slow work, unglamorous work, the kind no one applauds. But I watched senators lean in when he spoke. I watched young Romans struggle and then smile when a passage finally made sense. I watched Greek thought settle into Roman hands without shattering. Tyrannio never claimed to be preserving civilization. He was just trying to keep words from lying about themselves. And that, dear one, is how memory survives its most dangerous moment. Not when it is attacked, but when it is misunderstood. What made this moment so dangerous was how reasonable it all seemed. No one woke up planning to lose the ancient world. They just made small choices. Practical choices, easy choices, a scroll copied in a hurry, a line skipped because the ink was faint, a difficult passage smoothed out to sound nicer in Latin ears. Each change felt harmless, helpful even. But meaning does not survive convenience. I watched Tyrannio notice things others missed, a verb tense that shifted the whole argument, a margin note mistaken for scripture, a famous line attributed to the wrong mind. These weren't academic quibbles, they were fault lines. Once crossed, there was no clean way back. and here were the stakes he faced, though few would have named them that way. If Greek thought was absorbed carelessly, Rome would inherit authority without understanding. If philosophy became decoration instead of discipline, it would harden into slogans. If texts survived without teachers, they would become relics, impressive, inert, and finally irrelevant. Tyrannio could have adapted. Many did. He could have simplified, popularized, let errors slide in exchange for favor or speed. Rome rewarded that sort of flexibility. Instead, he chose friction. He corrected people who outranked him. He insisted students slow down when they wanted conclusions. He treated reading as a moral act, because once words are bent, they begin to bend the people who rely on them. This cost him time. It cost him ease. It likely cost him influence he could have gained another way. But I have learned something watching humans across centuries. When meaning collapses, power rushes in to fill the gap. Tyrannio stood in that gap. Not loudly, not heroically, just steadily. Holding the line between what was said and what was meant, so the past could still speak honestly to the future. This episode is supported by Tyrannio's copyists, for listeners who believe that almost right is how meaning quietly slips away. If you've ever read a passage that felt off, a sentence too smooth, an idea too tidy, you already know the problem. Somewhere along the way, a copyist decided speed mattered more than care. At Tyrannio's copyists, they do things differently. Their scribes work slowly, painfully so, by Roman standards. Every manuscript is copied by hand, then checked against multiple exemplars. Difficult passages are not improved. Awkward lines are not corrected for style. If a sentence is hard to read, they assume it is hard for a reason. Each scroll is read aloud. Yes, aloud, because errors hide better on the page than in the ear. Only after a second review is a manuscript released to its new keeper. Is it faster? No. Is it cheaper? Also no. But Tyrannio's copyists believe misunderstandings cost more than mistakes, and mistakes cost more than time. Tyrannio's copyists. Because when words are wrong, the future listens anyway. When I pull back and look at this moment, really look, I don't see Rome at all. I see a narrowing. History does this sometimes. The wide road suddenly tightens, the crowd thins, the noise drops away, and everything important has to pass through a very small space. This was one of those times. So much of what you and I still recognize as the ancient world was no longer protected by cities or laws or temples. It existed only as ink on plant fiber, as habits of reading, as people who knew how to notice when something felt wrong, and almost all of it had to pass through minds like Tyrannio's. That is what a bottleneck really is. Not a disaster, but a test. A moment that asks a quiet question. Will anyone care enough to be careful? I have watched this pattern repeat itself again and again. After wars, after migrations, after revolutions, creation gets all the attention, but survival belongs to the patient. The builders light the fire. The caretakers keep it from going out. Tyrannio did not widen the road. He did not rescue every scroll. Some were already lost. Some always would be. Even I cannot hold everything forever. But he made the passage possible. He taught others how to slow down, how to compare, how to listen to words instead of forcing them to perform. And in doing so, he turned memory into something sturdier than any single life. This is the part I wish more people understood. Civilizations do not collapse when they are attacked. They collapse when no one notices what is slipping away. Tyrannio noticed. And because he did, the thread held thin, yes, but unbroken, long enough to be handed to the next set of careful hands. There is a temptation, even now, to think this kind of work belongs to the past. We tell ourselves that preservation is automatic, that once something is written down, saved, archived, uploaded, it's safe, that the hard part is over. I wish that were true. What Tyrannio understood, what I have watched humans relearn again and again, is that memory is not storage. Memory is care. It is the ongoing choice to ask whether what we are passing on is still whole, still honest, still understood. A text can survive for centuries and still be lost. A tradition can be repeated perfectly and still be empty. A culture can quote its past endlessly and have no idea what it means. That is why preservation is never neutral. Every time someone chooses accuracy over speed, depth over convenience, understanding over applause, that is an ethical decision. Taranio lived in a moment when Greek culture was becoming fashionable rather than formative. It was admired, borrowed, displayed, but not always listened to. He pushed back against that drift, not with arguments, but with discipline, with slowness, with insistence. And here is the part that matters now, dear one. You live in a world drowning in information and starving for meaning. The danger is no longer that knowledge will vanish overnight. The danger is that it will blur, flatten, and hollow out until it still exists but no longer guides. Every generation inherits a library, not just books, practices, values, skills, ways of speaking and seeing. The question Tyrannio's life quietly asks is not what will you create? It is what will you refuse to let degrade? Because progress does not only move forward. Sometimes it holds still, bracing itself, so the future has something solid to stand on. And that kind of progress rarely looks heroic. It looks like someone caring enough to be precise when no one is watching. Before we part, let me leave you with something to carry quietly. No answers required. Think for a moment about what you know that didn't come from a book, a habit you learned by watching, a story told more than once, a way of doing something that only makes sense because someone once slowed down and showed you. Those things feel ordinary while they're alive. They only become precious when they're gone. Tyrannio never asked whether his work would be remembered. He asked whether it would work, whether it would hold long enough for someone else to take it further. And in that choice, he trusted something very human, that continuity matters, even when recognition does not. So here is my gentle nudge to you, dear one. What are you carrying right now that only survives if you pass it on carefully? What would change if you treated understanding, not novelty, as your responsibility? You don't need to rescue a civilization. You just need to notice when something important is being handled too roughly. That's how memory stays alive. And next time, I want to show you what happens after the rescue. When preservation becomes inheritance, when a student steps into the work, not to repeat it, but to keep it breathing. I'll tell you about that next. Until then, stay curious, stay careful. Much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, one more thing before we go. I have a small favor to ask. If you enjoyed our time together, if this story stirred something in you, please take a moment to give History's Arrow a 5-star rating. It helps others find their way to these echoes of the past. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next step on our journey through time. Better yet, share this episode with a friend, a fellow traveler, someone who still believes that history matters. And if you're curious about my family, yes, the loud, glorious, divine mess that is the Olympic gods, I tell those stories too in another podcast called The Olympic Family. It's full of love, drama, and plenty of thunderbolts. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, keep your heart open to the past and your eyes on the arrow. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.